Someone took my homily out of the thing this afternoon, so I'll have to just try to remember it by heart. Sorry about that. One of the things that we know God calls us to is a life of holiness. The Second Vatican Council proclaimed it very strongly that we are called into a state of holiness, and that is our primary vocation. And as we hear the stories of sacred scripture, especially of the building of families, we understand how that holiness is interwoven into families. We know it from the very beginning. That is how God planned it to be with Adam and Eve, that they grow in a state of holiness, that Abraham, as he looks forward to life, to a life with God, complains to God about how family is absent from him, how he is unable to pass on the blessings that God has given to him because he is without family. And God's promise to him that he will have descendants of numerous number, descendants more numerous to count. And how when we come to Jesus, born in a manger in Bethlehem, we see the coming together of the holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that icon of faith that as we prayed for at the very beginning of Mass in our opening prayer, that we might live the virtues of a holy family in the example of Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus, that we might carry forth those virtues of holiness. And of course, we then recognize also that holiness gets interrupted, just as the holiness of Adam and Eve's union as husband and wife got interrupted by the sin, by the sin of disobedience and pride to our God. We also recognize that within our own families, as holy as we try to be, that at times sin interrupts that holiness. Sin interrupts the joy and the blessing that family should be together. And so we are called as a family, as a church, as a family to return again and again to holiness, to become the father, the mother, the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter, the brother, sister, that we are meant to be in the eyes of God. So that as the angel Gabriel greeted Mary at the Annunciation, hail full of grace, we might enter into that holiness of being welcomed by God and by others into that grace of life, that blessing of life. And so how do we do that? Well, that's the million-dollar question. That's the question that everybody seeks to answer. This is one author I was reading lately wrote, he said, you can't know your destination, you can't know how to get there unless you know your destination, right? You can drive around for blocks and blocks and blocks, but if you don't know where you're going, you drive around for blocks and blocks endlessly. So knowing our destination and knowing that if our destination is heaven, that the presence of holiness with God, and if our destination is doing that not as an individual, but as united in family, united in church, then we begin to know how to get there. We begin to understand what we can do to get to that place of blessing, that place of holiness. And one of the essential ways, of course, is looking at sacred scripture and seeing how Mary and Joseph did it. And that's a good place to start, to look to examples of how do we get there following the example of those people we admire that we hold up as examples. How do we follow in their footsteps as our own unique family of God, as our own unique family? And of course, what do Mary and Joseph do? After the birth of Jesus and after the time prescribed, they go to Jerusalem to present Jesus, the presentation, that wonderful, joyful mystery that we pray, to God as prescribed by the law. Now, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense because that's what they were supposed to do. Everybody did it. Every Jewish family that had a firstborn son brought him to Jerusalem to consecrate him to God. That has been time and time again for for hundreds and hundreds of years the practice of the Jewish people. But in many ways, you might sit there and say, but Mary and Joseph were different. They knew Jesus was different. They had been told he was different by an angel. Joseph in a dream, Mary in her waking state, that this was to be the Messiah. This was to be the Son of God. This would be different than all other childs. And so you might have excused Mary and Joseph for saying, hey, we don't need to do the normal things because we know that that little boy is special. Not only was it announced to us, but the day he was born, the night he was born, angels sang of his glory. That's what the shepherds came and told us. The shepherds came and worshiped and honored him and adored him in the manger. And yet, Mary and Joseph chose to be part of that greater community. Just as we are called to choose to be part of a greater community too. We are called to be with others on our journey. Yes, as that nuclear family, as the great Pope St. John Paul II wrote, to be that domestic church, that church of holiness, that seed of holiness within the church that the family is meant to be, but also to come together as a greater family in the church. Because we understand that Jesus isn't just here. He's with us all the time. So when people sit there and say, why do I need to go to church to have Jesus? You don't. He's there with you. But you're not with your family when you're just with Jesus. You don't learn from others when you're just with Jesus. You don't see the joy and the blessing that surround the world if you isolate yourself and say, I just want to be with Jesus, and the rest of you guys can just go and do what you want to do. That's the temptation, to sit there and say, I got it all by myself. I got myself under control. I'm good. I'm not. And God says to us, no. You must be part of a family. You must be part of a family that carries on the gift of life. As mothers and fathers are commanded through baptism to pass on the faith to their children. And we can only do that when we join together as a greater community, to see the blessings, to see the heartaches, to see the struggles, and to see the joys that surround us. And we do that in hearing the Word of God, in hearing that Word of God in prayer, but it also in dialogue with God and with one another. Because we don't hear God's voice simply in sacred scripture, or simply in prayer. We hear God's voice in the child telling its mother, I love you. And the husband and wife sharing their gift of love with each other. And brothers and sisters getting along and caring for one another. We see the Word of God carried forward. And we recognize that as the Word of God when we choose to gather together, as Mary and Joseph did, to hear the Word of God spoken through Simeon, spoken through Anna, to hear that voice echoing that lift us up and carry us forward, where we then go forth and continue to proclaim the Word of God in the respect, in the dignity, and in the honoring of one another as sons and daughters of the one true and living God. That is a challenge that we have, because it's a challenge of listening and hearing and caring for the other in joyous love that happens within family when we are connected to one another in that unity of love, in that choice of love, in that blessing of love that God asks us to share with one another. And we do that in this gift of family. This gift of life, this gift of hope. But it is a gift that is in constant need of repair. As I said, sin interrupts. When sin interrupts, then forgiveness, mercy, and compassion must be the medicine, the balm, the band-aid of life. It must be the healing gift that we share over and over and over again. as children of God. It must be that gift that we practice and receive, that we share and give, that we live constantly in our lives. Because without mercy, without compassion, without forgiveness, we soon splinter into those fragments where we are alone and abandoned, where we cannot find our way home until a friend, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter reaches out in that mercy of love. And so as we begin this new year, many of us are going to make resolutions. Some of us are going to talk about losing weight, maybe reading more, maybe not doing so much time at work or whatever it might be. But the focus should always be on how can I grow in holiness? Am I losing weight so that I could be a holier man or woman? Am I going to read more to be a holier man or woman? Am I going to spend less time on Facebook to be a holier man or woman? To be a better son, a better daughter, a better husband, a better wife, better mother or father? Those are the gifts that God wishes us to enrich each and every day. So that might be our challenge that we take up as we begin the new year in just 5.5 hours. To make that resolution of holiness. How can I make my family a holier place this day, this week, this year? And how can I grow in holiness in the image of the family of holiness of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?